While we're waiting, good morning, everybody. And I don't want to remind anybody that it's 70 degrees outside with 10% humidity. And thanks for being in this dark room. Coming from Washington, D.C., where it's already getting cold, I'm sure some of you from the northern states are having a good time here in Southern California. First of all, I'd like to recognize my collaborators, Andrew Bazemore, Karen Warner, and Robert Phillips, who without them I could not have done this, and Bob Phillips is in the audience with us. And the disclosure, I have put it here, I do not have any relationships, financial relationships disclosed. However, I do want to warn people that if I do start coughing and clutching my chest, I'm not dying of a heart attack, but I'm recovering from pertussis, and I have three broken ribs, so please bear with me. Immunizations. Adults should get immunized for pertussis again, okay? And I did not, and I caught it in my clinic. So anyway, this talk is as much about partnership as it is about GIS. And it's a partnership between a community-based organization, in this case a community health center, a policy research center, the Robert Graham Center, and GW, which is a university and academic institution. We do not have a state health department on here for various reasons. But Unity Healthcare, you'll see why working with Unity is such an important aspect of GIS. And the fact that we serve almost 81,000 people in 24 different sites in D.C., and it gives us a lot of power. And without the Robert Graham Center's technical expertise in developing the tool that we're using, this would not have happened. And the academic community partnership that sort of allows this to happen, I work at GW as well as Unity, and this relationship really facilitated using this technology. So back in, many of you who've been doing GIS for a while know that in the late 90s and early 2000s, the technology really made some leaps and bounds. And a lot of us in public health thought, oh my God, this is so cool, we need to use it, in public health and community health centers especially. And so we first went to Unity Healthcare. Bob and his colleagues went to Unity saying, we have this great tool, let us help you with it. And they were like, oh yeah, this is really cool, we'll get back to you. And they didn't. And this, this process has been going on for probably 6 years now, Bob, something like that. And finally, we've been able to sort of create the interinstitutional collaborations, including a business associates agreement, data sharing agreements. People, especially during that time when HIPAA was such an important issue, people didn't want to share data, especially, identifiable data such as addresses. We wanted to make sure that what we were doing was in line with what Unity as a community health center, wanted to do. So we really went to Unity to make sure that the questions that we were asking were the same questions that they wanted to have answered. And some people got it, some people didn't. Actually, the clinical people didn't see the utility at all initially. It was hard to convince the clinicians that this was useful, although many of them thought, oh yeah, cool maps, And then we thought, okay, once we got them on board, it was a piece of cake. We could just get the data, plug it into the software, and we could do it. Data in community health centers is hard to get. They have it, but extracting it was really painful. So that was another process, a learning moment for us. And then finally, what we wanted to make sure we do was train the health center staff to use this. And I'm going to show you, demonstrate what this online program called Health Landscape, which was developed by the Health Foundation of Greater Cincinnati and the American Academy of Family Physicians. This is a completely online application based on ArcGIS. The beauty of this is that you can get on anywhere, right, as long as you have an internet connection. The other beauty of it is that, those of you who work with, other GIS applications like, ESRIs, ArcMap and whatnot, once you get going, you can learn how to do it, but it's still cumbersome. this has all the templates for, you know, the census data all embedded, a lot of the health-related data already embedded in there. So it's very easy to use. And I'm not going to go much more into this, but I'll show you some of the things that we've been able to do. So at Unity, these are some of the things that I know we use Health Landscape for: strategic planning, capital and infrastructure development, and also sort of understanding our priorities and, you know, where we're going. Grants and financial development. This was a huge part. If we can put in maps into the grants, it was beautiful. And the grants department is actually the ones that really facilitated the health center using this application. I'll show you a few examples on policy and advocacy. And then finally, the clinical applications piece, which was so hard to get going, we're beginning to see the fruits of GIS, especially in quality improvement and resource allocations. And then outreach, which, you know, we thought initially this would be the first thing that, you know, we could do with GIS, to look at who we serve and who we don't serve. But it turns out that that was sort of put to the side, you know, and there's a lot of other information that health centers have that made GIS less useful. But anyway, let me go straight into some of the maps. So this is the Unity service area. And, you know, one of the first things as health centers we want to know is, where are our patients? And as you can see, that, you know, the red dots are the individual patient addresses in Washington, D.C. And we cover most of the city, especially the eastern half and the southeast half. And if we put a 70% threshold on the service area, meaning that within these census tracts, we have the 70% of the most highly penetrated areas. And you can see the distribution. And when we showed this to, you know, the health center leaders, you know, they were pretty impressed. Wow, this is really cool. We can see where people are coming from. Especially the fact that, which is, if you think about, you know, distribution of service areas and any sort of retail or clinical practice, there's sort of a concentric, you know, sort of circle, or, you know, the diffusion outward. But as you can see here, there's a sharp demarcation within the District of Columbia. And why is that? And it has to do with eligibility for insurance. And especially for Washington, D.C., after the D.C. General Hospital collapsed, there was a new funding program that enabled uninsured individuals to get access to care beyond Medicaid. And that facilitated people getting access, but you had to be a resident of Washington, D.C., and that's why this looks the way it does. Health Landscape, I mentioned earlier that, you know, has a lot of the templates for, you know, the Census Bureau already embedded. We can show the service area overlaid with, you know, race and ethnicity. And as you can see, in Washington, D.C., the eastern half of the city is mostly African American. In some areas, it's close to 100% African American. On the right, the percentage of Hispanics, you can see a cluster in the center of town around here. And then out here in Prince George's County, as well as in Arlington, Virginia. And when we showed this to the health centers, you know, they were like, yeah, so what? We already knew this. Now, how is this useful, right? But, you know, again, the beauty of being able to do small area analysis, as Dr. Ikati was mentioning, is the ability to overlay the information from the census. So from this, I won't show you a lot of the details, but educational background, income, housing, you know, race, ethnicity, social characteristics, all those things can be overlaid on top of the census, on top of the service area, and that begins to tell a story. And the health centers were very interested in that. Gentrification was a huge, Washington, D.C.'s housing bubble was huge, especially in certain parts. I mentioned in the last slide that in the center of town, where a lot of immigrant families lived, heavily Hispanic as well as African immigrants right here. This was really the center for gentrification. 10 years ago, there were abandoned lots, boarded up housing, drug dealing everywhere. Now, there's a a Target, Best Buy, all sorts of retail around this area. Of course, Starbucks. And the area is with condos, you know, ranging from, you know, the 500,000s and up. And we thought that our patients were being forced out of the neighborhood. And looking at the service area, at first we couldn't really tell. There wasn't a very large shift over the years. And when we did a penetration map to see basically the patient, number of patients over the total population, we can begin to see from 2004 to 2007 a shift. We see that there are more Hispanics living in these areas and even in Southeast DC. And the dilemma was, we have a Hispanic serving health center right here. Do we move it? You know. And it turned out Unity decided not to move it, despite the fact that they were paying a lot of real estate tax, because the housing boom actually created jobs there, and people were coming into that area, and they were receiving care there. So we decided to stay there, and we'll stay there for the next foreseeable future. As federally funded health centers, we have a lot of stakeholders. We have to justify what we do and what we, and where we serve. And HPSAs, which are health professional shortage areas, are very important. We have all the Unity Healthcare sites in STARS, and then the red areas are the HPSAs and the partial HPSAs here in the middle. And we can show that we're in the locations that are, you know, short for health providers. And this makes a huge difference because loan repayment, National Health Service score, recruiting and retaining providers is a huge issue. Also, to sort of justify that we are serving the poor, and we can show that clearly here. An issue that came up in early 2007 was Walker Jones Health Center, which is one of the Unity sites here in yellow, is co-located in an elementary school and owned by the city. It was about to be demolished because it was really a horrible place to teach, actually, kids. And so they said you have 30 days, actually 60 days to move out. So they were scrambling to see where they needed to relocate. This is a service area. It's a wide service area, actually, for a health center. But because there's a low-income public housing unit right in this neighborhood, they wanted to keep it there, as well as not, you know, interfering with other health centers that are in the area. One of the first things that they asked was, you know, can you generate a map of the local area to show, like, to help us decide? And this is the original site, and these were the three different sites. The Washington Convention Center is right here, and this, the new one, and this is creating a big gentrification in this area. So this site was thrown out. These two sites were also contemplated, and this is Union Station, where major mass transit is available, and this is very close to it. So anyway, to wrap things up, this is where we relocated, and we used this to help health centers decide on relocating. The last slide that I want to show is how do we use maps for clinical care. We see here in a map showing avoidable hospitalizations for children, and we know that 90% of this avoidable hospitalization is due to asthma. So what we did was look at all Unity patients, children with asthma, and we know that there are lots of children here that we serve, and in some of these areas, we have a 25% penetration rate, meaning that one out of four people who live there, we serve. Okay, that's huge for a health service. And, you know, does this mean that we're providing poor care, and that's why kids are not getting adequate care? But if we look at some of the other indicators, reasons why, environmental, like, you know, there's a highway that goes here and the wind is going from here to there, children's hospital is over there, you know, there's other things that maybe we may not be able to control, but things that we can address through outreach, care coordination, and, you know, a lot of the things that we do in health centers. But anyway, I'm out of time. I'm going to wrap up here. And there's lots of different things that we've been doing with GIS and sort of pushing the frontiers of how GIS is being used in community health centers. I'd love to talk with people more about it after the session is over. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hayashi.